We've been going through the book of 1 John, and we're taking a small break from that. And we're going to look instead this morning at the first chapter of Luke. And instead of preaching through it expositionally like we're used to, I'm actually preaching more thematically, more topically, on two characters that are found in the chapter and in the first chapter of the book of Luke. And those characters are Zechariah and Mary. And I want to look at Zechariah and Mary, and I want to look at what happens to them, namely that the angel Gabriel comes to them and delivers a message, but I really want to zero in on how they respond to the angel, on the response to the angel himself and the response to the message that he gives. I want to zero in because their response, though can look similar at first glance, their responses are different. They really respond different to the angel and what the angel has to say to them. So if you haven't done so already, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 5 through 20, and then we're going to skip to verse 26 and do verse 26 through verse 38. And if you're using one of the blue Bibles that's provided in the seats below, they're on pages 855 and 856. So Luke 1, beginning in verse 5, Luke writes this: "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years." Now let's just stop there for a moment, just clarify here. So Zechariah is a priest. Okay, he serves in the temple, which is a position of honor. He's been there for many years. He and his wife were advanced in years, and they'd never had any children. And that's sad enough in our day. But in this day and age, it was beyond that. It was a disgrace even. Shame came with barrenness. And so we see a side of honor. Zechariah is a priest, but we see a side of shame as well. And that's the introduction to our first character here. Let's read on. Read on verse 8. "Now while he was serving as a priest before the Lord, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense." So just to give you some kind of something to grab onto what's going on here, during the Old Testament times in Jerusalem, there were 24 groups of priests, and they were divided into families. And then each group would serve in the temple for 1 week twice a year. How'd you like that for a rotation? You serve 1 week twice a year. That's your service. That's what they would do at that time. And at this instance, Zechariah is chosen by lot. They would choose by lot to have the great honor of burning incense to the Lord in the holy place, in the temple. Now, just to clarify, this is not the Holy of Holies. You've probably heard of the Holy of Holies, which was an inner room inside the holy place where a priest would go, the high priest would go once a year. This is outside of that, but it's still, this is a great honor for Zechariah. Probably this would only happen once in a person's lifetime if they're fortunate enough to get chosen by lot. A lot of priests never even got chosen. So this, you could say, was the highlight of Zechariah's priesthood. Read on. "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared.'" Now, there's a whole message in itself right in that passage. And time does not permit me to go into all the implications that point to John the Baptist here and his ministry and how he's compared to Elijah and all that. It's a fascinating study. One day I'll get there, but not today. Tonight, or today rather, we're focusing on Zechariah's response. he's told by the angel that his prayer has been answered. He's going to have a son. How would you like it if an angel showed up to you, and whatever your prayer has been, an angel shows up to you and says, your prayer is going to be answered? That would be amazing. That would be absolutely astounding to hear that. I imagine if we sit here and we think about it, we could say, well, I'd be so comforted. I would be so overwhelmed with joy. But what did Zechariah do? Look at verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Doubt. Zechariah is visited by an angel and he responds in doubt. His words, how shall I know this? In other words, he's questioning the validity of the angel's message. He's questioning the reality, the truth. He doubts them to be true. And here he is. He's a priest. He's in the holy place. He's in a place where God's presence was, a place you actually might expect to see something like an angel. And yet, his response is fear and doubt. Now, the fear, I don't think we could blame Zechariah for responding in fear. If we look through the Bible, most everyone, when an angel shows up, responded in fear. I don't blame him for that. But doubt the angel's message when he has been a faithful priest of the Lord for so long. That was Zechariah's response. Let's jump down to verse 26. Look at Mary. In the sixth month, so 6 months later, you could say, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, you might notice right off the bat, Mary receives a much less glorious introduction. The first introduction, Zechariah, he was a priest. He was serving in the temple, which means he was in Jerusalem. A lot of glorious introduction there of who this man was. And we get to Mary, and she's a young virgin with no status, living in Nazareth, which, if I can use this term, in that day would have been considered a podunk town in Galilee. But watch what happens. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, already I hope you see the contrast, because Gabriel comes. He comes to this, if I can say this, nobody from nowhere, and he gives her this high compliment. He says, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Mary is called favored one. She is favored by God. Now, this is not to say, and I know some take this too far, to say that Mary was extremely special and even to the point of almost saying she was sinless, and that's not what we're saying here. She's favored, much like many of the Old Testament characters were favored. She was still fallen. She was still sinful like everyone else, but she was favored like Moses was favored, like Joshua was favored, like Daniel was favored, like other heroes of the Old Testament. She was favored. Why? Because God showed her grace. But zero in on her response. It says she was troubled, and it said that earlier in Zechariah, but that's a little bit of a different word than when we were dealing with Zechariah. A little bit different. When it said troubled with Zechariah, that word meant shaken or stirred up. It was an inward turmoil. But with Mary, this word simply means confused. She was confused. What was she confused about? The fact that an angel came to her? No. It says she was confused about the greeting. It says here she was greatly troubled by the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. An angel shows up, and instead of being totally fearful and terrified of the angel, she's like, what did you say? She's confused about the greeting. Favored one? What are you talking about? And that just baffles me, to be honest. An angel appears, and she's more focused on the greeting than the angel. But read on, verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So he does say, just to clarify, he does say, "Don't be afraid." So there probably was some fear there, absolutely. But again, the biblical focus is on her response to the greeting. Verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Again, if I had time, I could go into that message from the angel and just unpack the amazing message of Christ's conception and how this was foretold in the Old Testament and what there is to look forward to because of the birth of Jesus. But again, our focus is on Mary and her response. And what does she say? Verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now, at first glance, if we took this and we laid it side by side at Zechariah's question, it might look very, very similar. It might look like she's doubting just like Zechariah is, but this is different. Zechariah doubted the angel's message. He didn't believe it. Mary is just confused. She's confused about, first of all, the greeting. Next, she's confused about the process. She doesn't get how this is going to happen. It's not that she doubts it's going to happen. It's that she just doesn't get how it's going to happen. She can't see the way. And Mary's not ignorant. She's smart. She knows it takes a man and a woman to conceive a child. She knows she's not married. She knows she's never been with a man. So she's like, "Well, how is this going to happen?" But look what the angel says. "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Amazingly, the angel gives her an answer. And I admit, it's not a hugely specific answer. It's more of a general answer, but he gives her just enough. He tells her that this is going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Gabriel relates what has already happened to Elizabeth, her cousin, as a way of showing her this is evidence of God's power. Look what happened to Elizabeth. God can do that. God can do this. And isn't that interesting? To draw another contrast, isn't that interesting? Zechariah wanted a sign, and he got none, except that he was, you know, mute until all these things happened. Mary doesn't ask for a sign, but the angel points out Elizabeth's pregnancy anyway, which is clearly a miracle. And then look at her response, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Isn't it interesting? The priest responds in doubt. The simple peasant girl responds in faith. What a contrast. Now, what can we learn from this? You have notes. I want to deal with your notes. I wanted to get through the scripture, and I want to give you just three, and I promise you, three short points about faith. What can we take away? And I'm specifically focusing on Mary's response here. What can we take away about faith here? First of all, point number one, faith has nothing to do with who we are. Faith has nothing to do with who we are. The angel comes to Mary and says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was puzzled about that. Her response is, "Me, favored, what are you talking about?" Now here's the thing. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've received the grace of God upon your life. You have been rescued from your sins and brought into His marvelous light. And so you, like Mary, are favored in the eyes of God. You are favored in the eyes of God. Why? For anything special that we are? Absolutely not. For no other reason than God chose to show His grace to us. We do nothing to earn God's grace. If we could earn God's grace, it wouldn't be grace. But you, fellow believer, are God's favored one. His grace rests on you. And again, it's not about us. It's not because we've earned His favor. It's simply because He shows His favor to us. Having faith in God is not something we gain because of status. It has nothing to do with who we are. You don't have to become someone special and then gain faith in God. No, not at all. Mary was not some person of great status. That's not where her faith came from. If we think we have to merit God's favor by becoming some great person or someone who's cleaned up their life or who looks good on the outside, if we think that that's where our faith comes from, then we've got it wrong. We don't make ourselves presentable to God and then come to God. You know what we do? We do what we just sang about in that song. We come. All ye unfaithful, come, weary and broken. Just come. You know, Isaiah 1:18 says this, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Just come. Just come to Jesus. You know, let me just say something about this. We are often our biggest barrier in our Christian walk. Did you know that? We can be the thing that's holding us back from what God wants to do in our lives. So let me ask you to ask yourself, in what ways have you allowed yourself to be hindered from coming to God? Are you holding yourself back because you don't feel worthy or you don't feel capable? And I'm speaking to believers. I'm speaking to unbelievers as well, but I'm speaking to believers. If you believe in Jesus Christ, how are you holding yourself back from the amazing things God wants to do in your life? Think of some of the people that God has used in Scripture. He used a man and his barren wife. He used a wife who didn't have the favor of her husband. He used a common shepherd boy. He used a runaway prophet. He used 12 incompetent men. What makes you think he can't use you? What's holding you back? Just come as you are. Our next takeaway from Mary's response is this. Faith does not mean that we have to understand God's plan. Faith doesn't mean we understand God's plan. Mary's question to the angel is, how will this be since I am a virgin? Again, she's not responding in doubt like Zechariah. She's responding in confusion. I just don't get how this is supposed to work. Well, let me ask you, how often has God led you down a path that didn't make any sense? From your standpoint, from everything that you could see, as you look forward to, I don't know how this is supposed to happen. Maybe you thought to yourself, I can't see any good that's going to come out of this. I can't see how this is supposed to work. Well, neither could Mary. Mary couldn't see how this was supposed to happen. It did not make sense to her. But you see, faith does not require that we understand God's plan. We don't have to have it all figured out in order to respond in faith. Actually, if we did have it all figured out, that wouldn't be faith. Faith is just simply following him, even if we are in the dark. And again, I'm not trying to say Mary's response was wrong here. I don't think she's questioning that God can do this. She's simply questioning, how is this going to happen? And I don't think it's wrong for us to go to God with questions. At the same time, I think we need to realize we're not going to get it all. He's not going to answer everything. We're not going to have this all figured out. We don't need the details. We just need to respond in faith. So ask yourself, what kinds of things might God want me to do that I failed to take a step in faith because I just simply can't see how it's supposed to all work? That was a long question. Let me ask it a different way. Has God been calling you to something that you're afraid to do because you can't see how it's going to work out? What's the first step? The first step is simply to go to God and ask him, help me to have the faith to take the first step. Step out in faith. Lastly, we've looked at two things about what faith is not. Now let's look at one thing about what faith is. How's this supposed to work? Point three, faith simply means accepting God at his word. Faith simply means accepting God at his word. Mary's response to the angel is simply, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Wow. Let it be to me according to your word. Now, this is an act of faith. Faith is simply accepting God at his word. It's trusting in what he says about himself, in what he says about us. It's trusting in what he promises. It's trusting in what he says is going to happen. Faith is merely accepting God at his word. Now, how do we receive this? Well, I very much doubt you'll be visited by an angel. I mean, it could happen. I mean, I'm not going to put it in the realm of impossibility, but I very much doubt it. However, we encounter God every time we open his word. We encounter God every time we go to his knee or go to our knees. So let me say, as you encounter God's word, do you willingly accept what he says? Do you trust his promises that you find in the Bible? Is your response, here I am, let it be done to me as you say? Or here I am, I will do as God's word says? Or here I am, I believe and cling to his promise? Is your faith that simple? That's faith. It's that simple. If not, let me ask, what's holding you back? Where in your life do you simply need to say, here I am, Lord? And maybe you're hearing something like this for the first time and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never taken that step of faith. You don't believe in this Jesus. Then let me ask you, what's holding you back? Take a step of faith today. And if you need more on that, come and talk to me. I'd love to share that with you. You know, that message the angel gave to Mary, it came to fruition. Jesus was born, just as the angel had said. That baby grew up and displayed the greatest trust in God that has ever been or ever will be. Do you realize that Jesus was not hampered by who he was? He knew his identity. Jesus also knew the Father's plan. Unlike us, Jesus knew the Father's plan. He was not in the dark, and yet he followed that plan all the way to its end, knowing where it was going. He knew it was going to the cross. He knew it was going to shame. He knew it was going to abandonment, and yet he followed unwaveringly. Jesus was the only one who fully and completely responded in wholehearted trust to the Father. How do we respond as Jesus did? Simply take God at his word. If God brought Jesus through all that, he's going to bring us through all whatever we're facing. So let's work through our doubt by choosing to trust, even when we don't feel capable in ourselves, even when we can't see God's plan that he's laid out. Let's just simply take the Lord at his word. Amen. Pray with me. Jesus, you are good. You are awesome. You are marvelous. You are holy. You are just. I want to give you the thanks and the praise for who you are. I want to give you the thanks and the praise for biblical examples like Mary that we can look at, marvel at their response, and learn from as we continue down this Christian walk, striving ever to be like our Savior. God, thank you for this season where we look back to your birth. Make this season way more important than the festivities. Make it something that reminds us constantly of who you are, what you did, how you came, how you saved. May that be at the forefront of our minds. God, we love you, we praise you, we say all this in the great name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.